Welcome to Rutgers Community Christian Church. Delighted that you could join us for worship. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Holy Spirit, too often circumstances overwhelm us, and it becomes difficult for us to find the words to pray the prayers of our hearts. In these times, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for interceding on our behalf and sighing the deep petitions of our souls. Heavenly Father, it seems like every day violence increases. Buffalo, Laguna Hills, Uvalde, Texas, Ukraine. Holy Spirit, our advocate and our comforter, we are thankful that you know the deepest prayers of our hearts and you know the deepest prayers of their hearts. When we, or those who have been afflicted, cannot pray, or we do not know what to pray, you intercede for us, bringing our prayers, our fears, and our cries before the throne of grace. Holy Spirit of promise and our patience, do not let us forget gentleness and self-control. We place our hope in you because we know that all people and things under heaven will fail at some point, but our hope in you will never fail, to continue to save us in our hope. And Holy Spirit, through your holy word and this morning's message, we ask that you would continue to transform our hearts and minds so that we may join you in your excellent work. May we be those known for our generous love of God and one another as we are saved by hope and made free by grace. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. If you have your Bibles, you're invited to follow along. And it reads, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.' And as John taught his disciples, and he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. It's my pleasure to introduce to you our speaker today, who is Pastor Tianhen Chu. He is a pastor of our Mandarin congregation. He's a pastor of our church. He has one very admirable quality about him is that he is at least trilingual. He can speak English, Mandarin, Cantonese, at least 3 languages, which is a feat that I very much admire. And he will be coming this morning to speak God's message to us. Let us warmly invite Pastor Tianhen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I've been with the church almost 40 years, but most of the time in Mandarin congregation. So some of you still might know me. So it is my pleasure to speak to you about the prayer from this familiar passage. I use this title, "Lord, Teach Us to Pray." So let's have a short prayer first. Let's pray. Lord, indeed, teach us to pray. We pray that You open the scripture to us. You open our eyes can see, and you open our hearts can receive. May the Spirit of God bless all of us. We pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer is something that you will learn early on in your faith journey. As you ponder on Luke's description of this story, you might wonder about one thing. That is, had Jesus taught his disciple how to pray? Why the disciples, they would ask the teacher, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples. If you attend a discipleship class for about a year, one subject you surely learn is how to pray. Let me make up a case. Imagine you have attended, Andrew's discipleship class for a year, but one day you walk up to Pastor James and ask, "Pastor, please teach us to pray." If I were Pastor James, the first thing came to my mind would be, what in the world Andrew was doing? They've been with him for a year, and they don't know how to pray, and they come to ask me, "Let me have a little chat with Andrew. I want to know what he's doing." Disciples have followed Jesus for more than a year. Why do they still ask, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples? To understand why, we need to have some understanding of the Jewish background about why and how they fasted and prayed. Since their captivity in Babylon, the Jewish community have developed a practice of fast and pray. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 8 mentions that they shall fast and pray, like in the 4th, the 5th, the 7th, the 10th month of each year, in order they will remember the destruction of the temple. They will remember the ending of the Davidic kingdom. They will remember because they have sinned greatly against God. That's what they encounter. So fast is an expression of self-punishment, and it's an expression of mortification. It's a form of self-humiliation. They must humble themselves before God to beseech his promised deliverance will come quickly. God has indeed promised through the prophet Zechariah that his deliverance will turn their sorrow into joy and celebration. But where is the deliverance? They continue to live under the rule, the iron fist of the Gentile rulers. The Messiah has not yet come. So the devout Jewish, they continue to fast and pray, including the disciples of John the Baptist, including the Essenes, including the Pharisees. Now John the Baptist, he fasted and prepared himself for the coming of Messiah, and he taught his disciples to do the same. But Jesus never instructed his disciples to fast and pray. So people were actually surprised and complained to Jesus, say, "The disciples of John the Baptist, they fast and pray. The disciples of Pharisees fast and pray. But yours, eat and drink." Now, according to the rabbinic teaching, everyone must fast and pray, except with one exception. If the day of fast, it occurs within the week of the wedding week, then the bridegroom and his wedding party, they shall not fast and pray. They shall celebrate. So with this common understanding in their mind, Jesus actually used a parable to tell them the reason why. You cannot make the wedding party or bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? But the days will come, and when the bridegroom is taken away, Then they will fast in those days. But apparently, no one understands Jesus' parable. What does all this mean? Who is the bridegroom? And why he will be taken away? No one could figure out what Jesus was talking about, including his own disciples. So they know, disciples know, John the Baptist fasts earnestly to prepare himself for the coming Messiah and his kingdom. The disciples, they preach the same message, repent, for the kingdom is near. It is around the corner. And they wonder, is there anything we should do to prepare ourselves to welcome this kingdom? Perhaps we should pray like John the Baptist. Maybe we should pray even harder. So they ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Do you see there's an irony in the situation? The most essential feature, most important thing of God's kingdom is the king, the Messiah. Furthermore, God's kingdom had this very powerful feature. The characteristic of the kingdom is Jesus actually used a parable to describe what the kingdom would be like. The kingdom would be like a mustard seed. Once the king is present, once the kingdom starts growing, it will keep growing and growing. Nothing can stop it from growing bigger and bigger. Now the king is standing right before their eyes. The disciples have been living with the king for more than a year, but they still ask the king to teach them how to pray as John teaches, in order that the king, the Messiah, and his kingdom may come quickly. Do they not know they have been with the king? They have been with the king for this time, and they belong to the kingdom. Jesus did not rebuke them for their lack of understanding. Instead, Jesus taught them something radically different from all the others. His teaching about the prayer was actually a new concept, so new. In Jesus' time, there's no other school of teaching is compatible with what Jesus was saying. His teaching would be like the new wine which cannot be contained in the old wineskin. If you put it there, it will burst. John taught them to fast and pray as one who had to prepare himself that he might be able to enter the kingdom. But Jesus taught them to pray as one who has been a citizen of the kingdom, that they might live inside the kingdom. So you may call Jesus' teaching like a prayer's ABC for a child who lives in the Father's kingdom. So I will say 3 points. The A, pray with the acknowledgement. You must know, knowing that you have a new relationship with God. And pray with the B, the boldness. The boldness is that you can pray fearless and shameless. Just go before God. And the C is that pray with this confidence. You must have, and you sure have, this absolute confidence that he will answer and he will give you the best thing. Pray with this acknowledgement. When you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. The Jews never dare to address God as Father in their prayer. It would be blasphemy. They always use the name God, and you can see this point clearly in Jesus, his parable. He used a parable of two men. Two men went up to the temple, both the Pharisees and the tax collector. They use the same way, the same name. They address God as God, using the same name. But Jesus always referred to God as my Father, whether it's in conversation or in prayer. Now, in Jesus' time, the common language is Aramaic in Galilee, which is very similar to the old Hebrew language. The Aramaic word for Father is Abba. Cantonese uses it, the same word, Abba. You may think of this as when you're doing a prayer, you call God just like Abba, using a nickname. If nowadays you can call him like a daddy, dad. And how can Jesus call the Almighty God as daddy? As if he's calling an earthly father. So the Jews actually complain. This is blasphemy. You make yourself equal to God. We want to stone you to death. But Jesus wants his disciple to say exactly the same. When you pray, say this, Abba, Father. The Apostle Paul teaches the same thing. He tells the church in Rome that since you have received the spirit of the adoption as sons, when you pray, you can cry out, Abba, Father. As a believer in Christ, you have such a close relationship with God. This is the basis why you can approach God without fear, without any hindrance, without shame. Prayer is just like a little child call out his father, say, Daddy, and then talk to him. But there's the other side, another side of the coin. It's not as good as that yet, which can never be separate from calling Abba Father. That is, you always remember God is holy. Hallowed be your name. This is not a wish, remember, not a wish. It's, of course, when you pray, we wish everyone in the world that would honor God's name as holy. But prayer is between you and God. This is your conviction. The key point is how you yourself think of God when you pray. I must remember he's daddy, but he is holy. God is holy. We are sinners. How can we get close to a holy God? Thank God we are in Christ. The disciples can approach God without fear. It is because they are with Christ, they are in Christ. They have been with this Messiah for such a long time. Your kingdom come. The next sentence. It is important to recognize the Greek grammar over here. In Luke's representation of the Lord's Prayer, it's short, but it's very unique. In the first two sentences, he used the so-called past tense, imperative voice. I won't bother you with all the details, but remember, which simply means one thing, that is, it's a factual statement. It is timeless truth. The disciples are with the king. God's kingdom has come upon them. It is a reality. And for us, it is the same understanding. So when you pray, knowing that God is Abba Father, yet he is holy. His kingdom is here. I am in Christ. I am in his kingdom. But the kingdom has not yet fully come. Your kingdom come, grammatically, it also has a force that it's an earnest plea. This is actually a very good example to show the New Testament theology, the so-called already and not yet. The kingdom has already come, but not yet fully come. So a simple statement here, it says all. In the next sentence, in Luke's presentation, very special, give us each day our daily bread. Luke immediately changed to the so-called present tense, imperative voice, which only means this, it is an ongoing thing. When you pray for your daily living. You pray for your daily bread, pray for every day what you need. This is how we may live in his kingdom. every day. You are just like a little boy. You can and should ask for his daddy for his daily need. So you can and you should ask from God for your daily bread, your daily need. A little boy knows how to depend on his daddy for whatever he needs. But you know, actually you know better. You know he is your daddy, but he's a holy God. So you will ask for whatever you need, but you will not ask for anything unholy. So a little boy has a total trust in his dad. He knows that he will answer. So ask, and it will be given to you. The next sentence is a very unique construction. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Again, Luke's grammatical construction, which is different from Matthew's, actually, it helps us to grasp the meaning of this sentence. The first part, he used a so-called past imperative, means fact. Father has forgiven our sins. This is a fact. In Christ, we are forgiven. But in the second part, he immediately switched to the present tense. In English, we don't do this. But in Greek, you can do that. Which means this is what you would do every day. We do in our everyday living, we follow Father's example. We are forgiven. So we forgive one another in our everyday life. And lead us not into temptation. The last sentence, Luke, switch back to so-called the past imperative. Again, it means a statement of fact. Luke tells us to proclaiming our knowledge about God. I know God loves me. His thought toward me is always good. He will not tempt me into evil. He may test my faith, but surely he will not lead me into temptation. So I pray accordingly. He will not lead me into temptation. He will lead me out of temptation. He will let me face trial, but will lead me out of temptation. So we can pray with this boldness when we have the right knowledge of God. When we pray, we will first examine ourselves. We always examine ourselves whether we have a clear conscience or not. The Spirit of God will gently remind us when we pray where we fall short. Then we confess our sin, and He's faithful. He always forgives our sins. With a clear conscience, we pray to God with boldness. This is a bonus only sons and daughters can enjoy. We pray to Abba Father without any fear. We also pray to Abba Father with impudence. Jesus used an illustration to tell us what kind of impudence, what kind of boldness it is. If you have a really good friend, you can knock his door. I hope you have this kind of friend. You can knock his door at midnight and say, "Hey friend, lend me 3 loaves because I have another friend just came to me on a journey, but I have nothing to set on the table for him." So your good friend might answer, "Come on, it's too late. Can you wait until the morning?" But you just keep knocking and knocking. If he's a really good friend, he will open the door and give whatever you need. How much more your Abba Father will answer your prayer because of your impudence, because of your boldness. I actually have a personal experience which reminds me this Jesus illustration all the time. It's 10 years ago, about 10 years ago. There's one night during the midnight, I was waken up by a stream of nonstop ringing and ringing. I pick up the phone. I heard a loud voice saying, "Dad, tell me what's going on." I said, "Calm down. I don't know what's going on. What's the matter with you? It is midnight, 2 o'clock. Can you wait until the morning? And on the other side of the phones, he said, no, I want to know it now. It turns out he saw a text message from his cousin saying that my brother, that is my son's uncle, passed away during their family vacation in Hawaii, but there's no more details. So he was shocked, and my son wanted to know what happened right away. He was afraid to ask anybody else, ask other relatives during the midnight, but he wanted to know. He had no fear to call me up. The phone just kept ringing and ringing and ringing until I answered the phone. Do you know you can pray to your Abba Father with this boldness? Knock and it will be open for you. Ask and it will be given to you. But remember one thing. This is not a blank check for whatever you want, as some prosperity preachers might suggest. Ask and be given. So you can ask for anything. If you are observant and pay attention to the context of this passage, you will notice one thing very clear. All the illustrations here are about your daily bread. God will give you what you need, but will not give you whatever you want. And when you pray, pray with this confidence that he will give you, he will answer, he will give you, and he will give you the best. As a father, you certainly know better than your little child. You know what is good for him. Suppose in the case there, you have a child, keep asking for sweets, for candies. Will you give him some bitter medicine as fake candy to discourage him? I don't think so. No, you won't do that. You might give him a couple candy, one or two, but you will not satisfy what he wants. You will give him what he needs. You know, he needs healthy food. So Jesus used another illustration to tell us what God wants to give you. As a father, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead? Ask for an egg, will you give him a scorpion instead? Here Jesus actually puns on the Greek language, like we have sweet versus bitter medicine. They use a fish for snake and egg for scorpion. This is a Greek pun. No, you will not give him bad things to discourage him. You will give him whatever he needs. Your heavenly Father wants to give you the best thing that you need. And what is it? What is the best thing? You would wonder. Of course, you might have something in your mind that you think that's the best for me, but God knows better what's good for you. In Gospel Luke, we see a very clear emphasis on the gift of Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, you see when Jesus began his public ministry, it's only in Luke, particularly with emphasis. He was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he went into the synagogue of his hometown, Nazareth. He opened the scripture and read from the book of Isaiah straight away. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And all the prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus. So even Jesus himself, he needs the Holy Spirit in his life and work. How much more we need the Holy Spirit in our kingdom life and work. That's what you need. If you know how to give good things, good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If you ask Him, pray to Him, He will give you good things. And you know for sure He will give you the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit to live in the kingdom life. There will be many trials. The Spirit will help you. There will be many uncertainty. You're for sure in knowledge. The Spirit of God will guide you into truth. So when you pray to God, this Jesus teaching, your prayer, ABC book, you pray with this knowledge, knowing that you pray to God. He is your Abba Father. Pray with this boldness. You are in Christ already, so you can approach your Heavenly Father without any fear, without any shame. Just go straight to Him. Pray with this confidence. Go ahead. You can ask. You can ask whatever. You may not know what you are asking, but He will give you something. You may ask for egg, ask for fish, but He will give you the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for using Your servant Luke to put down, to write down these Your illustrations in all this little detail. So help us to know that how to pray. Lord, we pray that as You promise, we thank You for the gift of Holy Spirit. We know the Spirit You have already given us. Help us to pay attention to His gentle voice. Help us to hear what He say. Help us to know more about You. We trust in You, and we thanks. Thanks for Your goodness. We pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.